All right, let's pray, and then we'll sing a few songs. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this little bit of time that we've set aside, and I pray, Lord, you would take it and use it to work in us and on us and around about us and through us. Prepare us, Lord, for the week that goes ahead. I pray you too, Lord, for all those that are gathering together or have gathered together, Lord, to honour you and praise you and to hear a bit more about you, that you would bless that time in your presence. Please be one of our number, and Lord, please be with our brethren wherever they are. For those that can't be out, Lord, please provide their daily bread and ours as well. Just thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us, for your long suffering and patience with us, and Lord, for your many promises and helps and comforts and strengths and all that stuff. We do indeed thank you for it. And we thank you, Lord, for the promise of a home in heaven for the endless ages of eternity, with no more aches or pains or sin nature anymore. We love you and praise you, Lord. We leave these things at your feet. Pray that you would grant our prayer requests, especially that you would be with Israel at this particular time. And we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to start in the wee black book, hymn number 17, was it? We had a pick for 17. Is that a grand job? Because he loved me. Number 17 in the wee black book, because he loved me. We'll just sit as we sing.
Oh,
last chapter, Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Just thinking about it there as we were. It's funny the things that go through your head. Remember a preacher saying that he had read the last chapter of the book, and we win. We do. But the Bible doesn't stop there. It says, you know you're going to win, but there's still a wee job of work to be done in the here and now. So let's have a wee read of Revelation chapter 22. The word of God says, and he, that is God, showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. 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 Does anybody have any particular prayer requests that they would like to be added to our harvest coloured or autumnally coloured prayer list? You got a spare room, Norm?
Yep.
Has anybody got any prayer requests that they would like for us all to pray about? You don't have to.
Yeah.
It's not a test. If you have something that you want us praying for, let us know. And if you don't, That's grand. I am happy whenever things are going smoothly in people's lives.
Just to pray that in the Lord's will that my mother will, that her left eye will improve again. That she will be left with, she will not go blind, but she will be left with reasonable sight in that eye. Most definitely.
We will be praying for Mary Ann's eye treatment. She's been talking about it for a bit.
And even that we get pretty quick.
Yes, indeed. Let's pray about that. Everybody knows Mary Ann. This side definitely knows Mary Ann. So does that side of the church. And the wee bit at the front knows her as well. And just please say a wee prayer for her. What, is she 92?
91.
91 years old. And tell you what, you can do a lot without your eyesight, but so you can't do everything with it. You miss an awful lot whenever you can't see it. So pray for Mary Ann, for her eyes, and for her ears, I think, too, as well.
Well, the ears will be sorted by Thursday, probably.
So pray about that as well.
It was a hard battle.
Yes. Yes, what?
Pray that pray for the King family who can be brought to the Lord, and the people I've been finding how to attend our mission will eventually come to the Lord.
King family and the mission.
Stephen, you know Samuel's brother. Raymond's son and Samuel's brother.
Yes.
That the Lord would save him. He's been at the mission. He's been at that mission every night. And he's the last one in that family.
That's P H or V E? Is that a P H?
S T E P H E M.
Stephen Snodgrass.
Aye.
Okay, certainly.
Really and honestly, to be out of church, you know, with mother and father, or, you know, with all my, well, I say mother and father now, because effectively Mona does become their mother now. But just pray that he will, for his wife and his children as well.
Yes.
He'd just be really
thankful. Is he saved, or is he saved and backslid?
No, he's never confessed. There's certainly
a great need for that. I'm sure we all have loved ones that and neighbours and friends that we would like to see saved. I would just remind you of the whole family as well, and the Barr family and the Roylands family who have lost loved ones just this past week. Paul Cole, he ended up in hospital. He used to come to church. And he ended up in the Baptist church there, up just round the corner from the Free Church. Please do pray for him and his family. We think he had a stent put in, but he ended up in hospital with heart trouble. He's about 55 years old, so please do pray for him and the family. And a friend of mine, Clyde, his sister's father-in-law passed away suddenly there at the start of last week, and he has been buried. They're all lost souls, but Clyde and his family were very good to me whenever I first came up to Derry, and continued to be, and have reciprocated over the years. Just needs to be saved, just like a lot of folks just need to be saved. So please do pray for him. Edith, Norman's sister, we were praying for her because of a few health issues she was having. She had an MRI and everything was clear. We have it on the thanks, but she still needs to be saved, and that would be the final problem she would have solved. So please do pray for Frank. Please do pray for Norman and his sisters at this time. Anything else? We're going to visit my dad. We have a special armed convoy going down to Portadown with food and supplies to keep on things like a Bradfield outpost down in Portadown. I'm thinking maybe get the Chinook in and just drop the stuff on the lawn. Things about like that. But no, please pray for my dad too. He's 92 and he still goes around visiting the old people in the church.
Wow.
I tell you. He loved his mum and dad. The Lord honoured him with that and gave him, given him so far 92 years. He only got saved about 20 years ago. And he's the only one in the church that stood up to the female minister and told and asked her why she wasn't telling people about you must be born again. So people keep asking for him, and I keep telling him, well, you need to go and tell them they need to be saved. And just tell them how to be saved. That's your lot in Armagh Road Presbyterian. So we'll be going down there and spent a day or two with my dad and seeing what needs to be done. So we'd appreciate your prayers for that Thursday, Friday and Saturday morning. Yeah, I think that's about that. Anything else? All good. Right, let's pray and then we'll sing another song. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you, Lord, for your many helps and blessings. And pray you, Lord, please, that you would watch over us and keep us. You know each one of our prayer requests, especially for Mary Ann at this particular time. And I think she is a bit concerned about this injection into the eye. And I pray you, Lord, please, if there is a treatment that would enable her to see that little bit better, we would pray you, Lord, that you would find that for her or administer it to her, or even, Lord, no matter what they do, that you would just touch her eyes and give her more of her sight back. We pray you too, Lord, for the King family and for that young fellow Stephen Snodgrass and his family, for a household salvation. Lord, for the people on the main road here, and for the Barr family and the Roylands family, for Michelle and Keith Leslie, for Jackie and Amy, and Lord, for that other wee fellow we met up at the Present Link last week, we just pray you please for salvation for them. There is a great need for it, especially in these last of the last days, and I know, Lord, that you will come quickly when the time is right. You'll be here in a flash, and Lord, be a few people be caught on, but there'll be a lot of people caught on, Lord. I just pray you, Father, that they could be caught on sooner rather than later, and that souls would be saved. Please be with us now, Lord, and guide and direct us as we sing these hymns, and thank you for all that you've done for us. And Lord, even as we leave this building tonight, and Lord, that you would point us in the right direction, give us the words to say. Lord, let us not be afraid of what other people are going to say about us, because, Lord, it's worth it to be a Christian. Thank you for loving us. We love you and praise you. We leave these things at your feet, and we pray especially for Israel here at this time. And we ask them all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, let's get back to singing songs. Let's get back to singing songs. I think that's fine. Then we have All That Thrills My Soul, hymn number 105, if you'd like to take a turn there in the big book. 105 is All That Thrills My Soul. If you'd like to remain seated, I will spare your legs a bit of exercise and we'll save it for the next time. 105, All That Thrills My Soul. asked for to be sung. Somebody didn't. We've only sung three, and there's
That's good.
That's good. That makes me feel better. Well, guess what, folks? It's only another 3 months till Christmas.
Take
the wee black book and turn to number 72 and we'll get a bit of practice in. Number 72. Make sure you get a bit of practice in for Christmas. We practice for everything else. We're practicing for heaven every day of our lives. Let's get a bit of practice in. For God rest ye merry gentlemen. Amen. Let's stand as we sing. History's biggest loser. We're reading about 8 or 9 verses from Ezekiel 28. And I hope this will be a help to us, or indeed a warning to us, about siding the festival's biggest loser and what it can bring, or rather, what it can take away. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Yeah. Ezekiel 28, beginning at verse 11. You'll find out, you'll get to who it's all about in just a moment. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee, the day thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring a fire forth from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be. Amen. History's biggest loser. Let's have a wee word of prayer. William, would you be okay to say a wee prayer for us for the service? Please go ahead, sir.
Lord, thank you for allowing us to come to this church and say to you, Lord. Lord, put your papa. Lord, please look over and protect the land of Israel, Lord. This is Stratford, Lord. Put your hand and protect it. Put your hand upon its families and help them, Lord. Lord, please bless everybody in this house, Lord. This Lord. And Lord, please bring me into it. So they know that you are the Savior, Lord. And have mercy upon us, Lord. And give us strength, most mercy, Lord. And please strengthen Pastor Bradley and the monk of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, William. Amen. I don't know about you, but until the last few verses that we read there, I was reading about someone that looked and sounded pretty good. Someone that had a very important position, and somebody that was no dozer. By every metric that any one of us could lay down, he was perfect. We read about all the precious stones that covered him and the gold that was built on him. We read about tabrets of the pipes that were prepared of him. Sounded beautiful. He was second in command, if you like, at least in position, to God alone. He was called the covering cherub. He would have, I am sure, stood behind the throne with whatever all of those, I fancy him with maybe a set of wings, angel wings, or a cloak with all of these precious stones in them. Have you ever seen light refract through a diamond, or a beryl, or a topaz, or an emerald? And the way it breaks up the rays of the light, the diamond does, into the red, what is it, the red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. A beautiful colour. And most of us, I would say, can appreciate a good hymn. Whether we can sing it or not, we can always appreciate good music. And Lucifer, the anointing cherub, he had that built into him, never knew anything else other than sounding really, really good to people. Bible says he walked in the garden of God. I'm assuming that's the Garden of Eden, whenever God made it. And I heard a preacher say one time, and cannot say for sure, but if he walked in the Garden of Eden, he was there for about 5.5 or 6 days. And maybe he thought it was all going to be his, until the Lord called man up out of the dust and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, made him a living soul and said, this is yours. Maybe that's what caused, maybe Lucifer thought that he was going to get the whole shebang and he could do whatever he liked with it. And to a certain extent, it's exactly what has happened, but not for the right reasons. Can you imagine being party to everything that was going on in God's throne room? Can you imagine that? Hearing everything. Seeing God wield his power directly affecting people's lives. Calling the creatures out of the ground. Ordering time and space and matter into being, into this piece of rock. Hurtling through space at least 30,000 miles per hour. Just being there in the thick of everything with God's glory shining through him. Do you remember what God's glory did to Moses whenever he was up on the mountain getting the law for just 40 days and nights? The people couldn't even look at him because a wee bit of God's glory remained in him and made people afraid. But God's glory was shining through Lucifer. Nobody can say for sure what flipped him over. But the Bible tells us he thought that he was due an awful lot more than he was. He started to act. Entitled. I think that's what they would call it today. He started to act entitled. And the only thing that he, I am sure, was in the presence of that was greater, something to be desired that was greater than him, or just something he couldn't control, was the office of God Almighty himself. In fact, if we were to scoot forward to Isaiah chapter 14, and a rare insight into the heart of the devil, the last in a series of 5 things that the devil wanted is to be like the Most High God. He says, this is what the Lord God has told us was going on in the heart of the devil. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'll be the greatest of the angels. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. And because of his desires, the lusts of his heart, and we know because the Bible tells us that it is not only our words and our deeds that God makes a note of, but also the feelings and temptations and things that we entertain in our hearts and our minds, he was found to be the sinner. This perfect creature turned to sin because he lusted after the position and authority and the power of God. As a result, even the greatest of creatures, the pinnacle of God's creation, Lucifer, the most powerful being that he created, he was cast out as an abominable branch. It wasn't his power that cast him out. It wasn't his beauty that cast him out. It wasn't the beautiful sounds that he made that cast him out. It was his wicked heart. And a similar thing can happen to any of us. One of the portions of God's word talks about the merchandise. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence and thou hast sinned. If we were to rummage around in the book of Revelation, we would see that analogy of the parable is of the dragon gathering in the third part of the stars of heaven and casting them to the ground. In other words, whatever it was that he said, whatever it was that he did, maybe it was the angels that he was responsible for, because Gabriel and Michael, the other two archangels, maybe they were responsible for the other third of the angels. He brought them low. And that's a terrible thing, but you need to remember that it's only a third of the angels of heaven that are fallen. That means they're always outnumbered 2-1, so bear that in mind. But the Bible records that the lake of fire is his eventual and eternal destination. And the thing about it is, history's biggest loser is determined to take as many people with him as possible. He's not like the rich man, the account of the rich man in hell in Luke 16. He doesn't come to his senses knowing what hell is like. Having seen it, I am sure not having experienced it. The devil knows exactly what hell in the lake of fire is about, and he's going to make sure as many people go there as possible. Now you would think, if someone came saying, does anybody know what's about half a mile down the road? What? The dump. City industrial waste. I think it has been labelled in the news as Europe's biggest environmental disaster for the past 20 years. So most folks know that you really wouldn't want to be paddling in the water or eating any of the fish that come out of that pond, in case maybe you caught something that you couldn't recover for. So if someone came round and started saying, there's a new swimming pool that has opened on the old grounds of the city industrial waste, and it's free to enter, and you can swim in it as much as you like, you'd look at him and say, you're crazy. We know what that place is like. We have lived through the effects of that. There was a plague of flies came out of it when they opened it up. They're doing tests on it still after nearly a decade of shutting the place down. It's a disaster. And if it's that bad that the water board is old, I see a water board van up and down this road every single day when I'm walking. I know they don't always stop there, but there's times when they do stop there. You would say you're crazy. You'd have to be mad to do that. However, if you didn't know it was city industrial waste, and you never heard about the environmental disaster, and someone built this open-air swimming pool and put a wee raft out in the middle of it and had an ice cream parlour and had a wee burger joint and had a wee coffee shop and a nice road up to it and a few lights sprinkled on it. And they say everything's half price. Don't bother going to Starbucks or Nero's or Maud's Ice Cream Place or McDonald's. Just come to us and you get the first one free. It's great. People would go. People do go. People would go. And the real problem is, for us, as a creature, we are ignorant of hell. In the same way that if somebody did what I just described, the city industrial waste, didn't know about it or even change the name of it, would go and partake of the things that would eventually destroy them. The devil puts a glittery wrapping paper on it. And the devil ties a nice bow around it. And then the devil sprinkled some of that tinsel on it. And I want to tell you something. If you ever get me anything and wrap it up in wrapping paper, do not put tinsel on it, because it's the devil to hoover up again out of the carpet. What did I say? Tinsel. Glitter, yes. Don't ever put glitter on anything. Did anybody ever get a birthday card or something booby-trapped with glitter? And you open it and you read it, and there's glitter all over the carpet for the next 3 weeks. Anyway, the devil doesn't come and say, I'm going to stick a knife in you and kill you and you're going to go to hell. He doesn't say that. He says, come on, let's have a good time. I'm your friend. I'm your mate. And because the world has done such a violent job, again, under his direction, and you need to bear in mind, folks, do you remember the words of the devil to Jesus as he was tempting him? And he said, if you fall down and worship me, I will give you, excuse me, the command of all the kingdoms in the world, for such is delivered unto me. What do you think the devil has been doing the last 2,000 years but trying to stop this blessed old book's pages from ever being open? Trying to fill people's lives with so much time that they never take a moment to find out that there is a hell to be shunned and a heaven to be gained. Trying to make sure that people never find out there's a devil that hates your guts, and he will literally give you anything in exchange for that time that you would spend in God's word finding out that you have a soul that God loves and he wants in heaven. They even make it a little preach the gospel in the schools, or very few of them. They hardly even preach it in the churches anymore. Do you know what's been a great put a smile on my face? I have noticed over the past few months from time to time, there's a couple of bus places, bus stops, that have like a gospel verse on them or an invitation to go to a website for a Bible or a pamphlet. I like to see that. But the devil is doing his best to make sure that nobody ever tells anybody about the word of God. There are whole countries in this world where this book, that we so casually forget, is forbidden. Communist countries, there's some communist countries that have a church-sponsored, a state-sponsored church. But there's precious little free gospel preaching. There's other places it's completely underground. There are countries, Muslim countries, where if you carried that Bible, you probably wouldn't get 10 steps before you were murdered in the streets. The devil's doing his very, very best with those kingdoms that he is in charge of. And we have been so used to standing here in the UK, quite literally the home of world missions at one point, and pointing the finger at communist China and communist Russia and all the Muslim countries and saying, look at the effect of not hearing the gospel is having in those countries, and we have missed it all together in our own country. And then whenever we see the people that are in charge running the countries, hating God, actually bringing laws into place to stop the preaching of the cross, then you need to realize the devil is in charge of the countries of this world. He encourages us by telling us lies. He knows. Sometimes he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what our weak spots are. In fact, isn't that not what the wee verse, I can't remember where it is right now, where it says, be sober and be vigilant for your good mate, your bosom bud. No, your adversary, your enemy. The devil walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't rush around. You ever see men thoughtfully rubbing their chins whenever they're considering something? That's the way the devil walks around each one of us. And there's a wee dossier on you somewhere. Well, there's probably a wee dossier on everybody in Northern Ireland. But the devil keeps one as well. And it's not from Facebook. It's not all your likes and dislikes from Facebook. It's the things that will trip you up and will knock you down. And I am sure before you maybe even get out of these doors or off this land tonight, before you get up in the morning, the devil will be at it in your life. And he'll be saying, "Oh well, that was good preaching that the pastor did last night. You can take a break from reading your Bible for another few days now." That's what he'll say. He'll never come straight out against you. He'll sidle up beside you and put his arm in yours. And he'll seem to be your friend for a while, but all the while, he's steering you gently away from the Word of God, the one thing that will keep your head screwed on in a world that doesn't know whether it's coming or going, and he will turn you away. He never says, "Let's go out and kill somebody." He never does that. He says, "Come on, we'll go out and we'll meet up with a few friends. And we'll go down to the bar. I don't drink, but they sell coffee and tea and sandwiches down there. Well, okay, you know what? You seem like a decent enough chap. I'll go down with you." The rest, everybody else is having themselves a pint or whatever it is, whiskey, vodka, gin, I don't know. And you're having your cup of coffee. And then he said, "You know what? It's getting a bit rowdy on my way home." "Well then, it's good to see you. Why don't you come back the next time?" And it happens time and time and time again. And you know what? If you put yourself between a rock and a hard place, you're going to get ground to powder. And that's what will happen. It will wear your resistance down until before you know it, you're having a wee shandy. And then you're having a pint, and then you're having a whiskey or a vodka or a Bacardi, whatever it is that people have. And before you know it, you're drunk. But they still haven't killed anybody. And then whenever you're drunk, they say, "Do you know what? This goody two-shoes, Mark. Let's sort him out with a wee girl." And you're waking up with a big head in a strange bed with a wee girl that you've never even seen before. And you say, "What's your name?" And you exchange pleasantries and maybe a phone number. And then about 3 or 4 weeks later, you get a wee text. "Is there any chance we could meet up for a wee cup of coffee? I am such and such a wee girl." And you're there for your cup of coffee. And the news comes out. There's a wee line, or is it two lines? And it's not for a COVID test. It's for a pregnancy test. And neither the two are interested in each other, and they say, "We can go up and get a wee tablet at Alton Galvin." "We'll do that, and you know what? That'll be that done, and it was good to see you, and all the very best for the future." And you walk away thinking that was a close one. But now there's two more murderers in the world. And the devil doesn't come in with a pitchfork and a pointy tail, stinking of sulfur. He comes in a suit and a pair of shiny shoes or a tie, or he comes in a pair of jeans, the very thing that will make you feel most at ease. And he's not there to help you. And he's not there to give you a good time. He is there to destroy you, your soul, your money, your mind, your health, your family, your friends. He is like a tactical nuclear warhead, and he doesn't care about the fallout. He is a murderer and a liar, and the Lord said, the father of it. And he knows the best way to drag you to hell. And if he can't drag you to hell, he'll drag your testimony and everything that you have to hell, and make you impotent. Never warns of any consequences. Do you not know that one of the greatest faults that people have in this current day is no understanding of consequences whatsoever? Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's the way most people live their lives. Friends, goodness, my goodness gracious, it's consequences. You think about up at the hospital, how many people have gone into eternity, not because of a drug-addled murderer, not because of someone that is out for revenge or just some predator. But a man that has spent years, maybe decades, learning how to help people. A surgeon, a doctor. The nurses that have gone to school for years to learn their trade, supposedly to help people. And every single one that has put a hand to a pregnant mother's tummy and destroyed that little baby is marked as a murderer. Four murderers, five murderers for the price of one. I know that is the most extreme example, but the devil's a craft. He's a craft, not called crafty devil for nothing. The thing about it is, as we read the last chapter of the Bible, I think it was three times the Lord said, "Behold, I come quickly." Then at the very end, John says, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly." And someday he is coming, and it's an awful lot quicker. Do you think the devil is ignorant of the prophecies in the Word of God? He's not. He is not ignorant of the signs of the times, the technology and the weaponry and people's attitudes and even the state of the churches. The devil is not ignorant of God's prophecy. He knows pretty much as well as any of the rest of us when Jesus is coming back. And he knows his time is short. And it's almost like the way, I'm sure we've had this discussion, people aren't even ashamed of their sin anymore. They don't even take time to cover it up. There's our current, in quotes, leader, Keir Stalin, Starmer. He has just been found to be in receipt of over 30 grand worth of clothes. He has put even the most prissy of supermodels' fashion choices to shame. Goodness. You're not even ashamed of it anymore. The contenders, some of the contenders for the big chair in America, they don't even think twice about lying on national TV. This is the world. Little girls, when I say little girls, that's anybody that's a girl. We girls don't even think twice about discussing in a taxi in front of a complete stranger who they're going to be spending the night with. And sometimes they might not even know themselves because their whole plan is getting full and seeing what happens. It's crazy. There's no shame. There's no propriety. And the reason for that is because there's no Word of God. I don't know if you're old enough, William. You know what's frightening? I'm standing at the front of the church at nearly 60. And I remember being the youngest Wayne in everything that I ever did, because my birthday was in August. I was always the youngest in primary school. I was the youngest in secondary school. I was the youngest when I went to work at my uncle's hotel. All this youngest. Now, William, you're the youngest. Do you remember singing songs in school, singing hymns in school?
Yes, I do.
Good, I'm glad to hear that it was going on at least 15 or 20 years after I was doing it. Do you remember the Bible reading that the head would do at the front of the church, or the front of the church, the front of the school? Every day there was two hymns, there was one to start off and a wee Bible reading and one to finish off in a prayer. I remember being nabbed to play one of the hymns. In secondary school, I nearly died because I knew my playing wasn't that good. At least a child would have some exposure. And then there was an RE class. And the devil has moaned and whined. Do you know what else? He's a moaner and a whiner and the father of it. How many people do you hear moaning and whining? Oh, you can't have prayer and the Houses of Parliament. You can't have prayer in the White House. Why not? If there is not prayer put in there and some moderating influence, what?
So there were small numbers I can play up back here. I was coming to my thought this week that I didn't even know this, but during the Dunkirk crisis, and many crises, every time, Roman, correct me if I'm wrong, or anybody else, correct me if I'm wrong, every time there was a crisis during the Second World War, what? Dunkirk, I think the war's in hell. Remember in the Desert Campaign, every time it was going badly and Ronald was pounding Monday nights in the British, there was a week of prayer.
Yes.
And always Ronald was removed from the theatre. I never heard Ronald was removed from the theatre. And recently, remember Dr. Paisley was in as an MP. Remember the foot and mouth crisis? Both of them. The foot and mouth crisis, he said, we need a week of prayer. And Tony Blair shut down completely.
Yes. But that has always been the way. I know that a lot of people are pinning their hopes on Donald Trump. And I know that there's a lot of people praying for him. And I know that prayer works. I don't know the state of his soul. I pray that if he's not saved, he has a good enough exposure to the gospel that he does get saved. But I think he's the man to pull America's fat out of the fire. But there's people praying for him. And many times, it's not a bolt of lightning or an army of angels. The last prayer answered was that. And instead of a bullet blowing the back of his head off, it nicked him in the ear. Whenever there isn't that, the wickedness is like, anybody here does any gardening, you'll know there's some weeds you have to follow for a few feet before you can get them out of your garden. The roots just creep away underground, and that has happened because of the devil and the kingdoms of the world that he is in charge of. But for all of that, and for all of how persuasive he is, for all that he had, the most privileged position that any created being could ever have, because of his sin, he's lost it all. Could have had the presence of God yet. He could have been a spokesman for God and convinced people for generations yet. He could have had the reflected glory of God. He could have been the one that spread the glory of God far and wide in the throne room of heaven yet. But for his sin separated him from the thing that he loved the most and desired the most. And you know what, friends, it's no different from us. Now, it doesn't matter if you never hear about God. You're still a sinner. We're sinners from birth. We're not sinners by choice. We're just sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we have a sinful nature. And if we don't get saved, the Bible says we're condemned. And that is the single best weapon. Do you know that the most ardent haters of this blessed old book, it's not devil worshippers. They use the Lord's Prayer as part of their rituals and stuff like that. The greatest haters and the most opposition you'll have to the King James Bible comes from people claiming to be Christians. That's very old-fashioned, is it not? Well, let's turn to 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, and find out what the King James says about the Trinity. You read the verses from your book. And the verses that are probably the plainest description of the Trinity in the Bible, the three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and the three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit took out. And just about every other Bible, I think, except the New King James, is that removed. And most people in most churches are reading those heretical, damnable heresies and thinking they're grand. And it's not new. Goodness, about 30 years ago, I remember talking to my little brother at the time, and he spoke to his Presbyterian minister about salvation, and the Presbyterian minister said to him, "You don't need to worry about that. If you worry about your salvation, there's precious little else in this world that you will have to worry about afterwards, because you can tell it all to the Lord and he will point you in the right direction." If you're on your hands and knees in prayer and seeking God's will in the book, you might just decide, you know what, it's 8 o'clock, I'm going to make the supper and go to bed, because you read the Word of God. Goodness, I remember waking up many like that there. The side of my bed, falling asleep. I'm not saying I'm anybody great. I was just that tired when I was kneeling by the side of my bed. There's a brilliant verse, I'm going to write that out. Write about 3 or 4 times, say it 4 or 5 times. Brilliant verses, warfare verses, verses that will point you in the right direction when you need it. And yet people never heard them and never gone around the doors. These things that will save your skin, your mind, your body, your finances, your family, even your friends, but most importantly, your soul, are pretty much absent from everybody's life in this Christian country. And the devil is doing his best to do that. He's not throwing nukes. He's not cutting people's throats in alleyways. He's not shooting them from a mile away with a big 50 cal sniper rifle. He's just quietly closing the Bible and he's saying, would you look at that party over there? And when the person looks back, there's no Bible. That's what the devil's doing. And there are consequences. If you don't know your Bible, and I know all of us have been at funerals, and I don't wish for any more. When the Bible says people's hearts are most tender and most ready to accept what the Bible has to say, because there's no other book can comfort you standing on the brink of an eternity. How are you going to know what to say if you don't know what's in that Bible? What words of comfort will you bring? There's a good TV show on tonight after the news. You should watch that. That'll help you feel better. What use is that to someone who has lost the love of their life? A precious parent? A doting uncle or aunt? A grandmother or a grandfather? Or a beautiful little child? What use is that? And so people are going through this life with no hope in the here and now, no hope for the hereafter. What do they do? They don't know of a God that loves them. They don't know of a free, forever, and sure salvation. They don't know that the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that taps them on the shoulder and makes them feel bad. And whenever they do, they go down and drown their sorrows in the pub or pop a few pills or shoot up with something just to take that. They don't know that. And that is the very reason why the Lord said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that are on it. Because the devil has done such a bang up job of removing the Bible from every sphere of life. He hates us. No matter what he makes available to you, it is designed to destroy you. If it's in the book and God says it's okay, it's okay. If it's warned about in the book, no matter what the world says, no matter what advertisings the drinks companies or cigarette companies or drug companies put out there, doesn't matter how it's wrapped or packaged, it's not okay. If it's not good, it's not okay. But instead of living with the Word of God that never changes yesterday, today, or forever, we live in a world of slipping and sliding standards and rules. And what would have destroyed a life and been shunned by society forever if you'd ever carried on like that 40 or 50 years ago is now accepted and pursued. And people don't realize that they've been lied to, that there are, in many cases, eternal consequences for their action. But most certainly definite and visible consequences in their lives right now. But they think it's normal, because this precious book has been ejected from just about every sphere of life. Remember John the Baptist, JTB? Whenever he was starting out, baptizing people in the Jordan, all the ministers, the priests, the guys that would walk around like that, making broad their phylacteries, all the hypocrites. They came to see who was being baptized, who was trusting in the in repentance and baptism for salvation. And he shouted up to them, he said, "Generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? We're there. Who indeed has warned people to flee from the wrath to come? It's not the security forces. They really don't give any money. Couldn't give two monies. They're being hamstrung by the people that are supposed to be leading them. It's not the education system. They are more interested in teaching children about all 47 genders and two spirit penguins than they are about getting to heaven and flying right in life. It's not the government. The government's a bunch of goodness, they're like a shadow of the devil himself, liars and thieves. It's not our health service. My goodness, I am sure there's a couple of departments that could close down if they started preaching the gospel and people started living right. The STD clinic would be done. The drinking clinic would be done. My goodness. All of these things are designed by our enemy. And it doesn't matter if a man or a woman or a bunch of people get together and cavort about the country with nothing on, pretending they're worshipping the spirits of the woodlands and the trees. It doesn't matter if they have a human sacrifice and they're worshipping the winner, the devil. It doesn't matter. I think he hates them more because they're that stupid. They're doing what he said. He hates them all. He hates us all. We remind him every time he looks at us of the Creator, of God. And if you were to read in Matthew 24, it actually says that if Jesus didn't come back, there would be no flesh saved. What does that say to you? We were having that discussion out there at the back. Even at the moment, is it Iran having this nuclear program and they've just got a slap from Israel? I reckon there are people that are that mad that if they got the big red button, they could get there. How many missiles can we launch at Israel before we get nuked into oblivion or turned into the biggest glass company in the world? They would press the button. There are people that are that forsaken God that much and that filled with venom for God's people and God's country that they would do their best to destroy because they don't know God, His Word, and the consequences of rejecting. The devil doesn't care whether you sit in a Baptist church or a Muslim mosque. He hates our guts. And he wants us all in hell and in the lake of fire. And the only solution is there in God's word. Repent of your sins, trust in Christ as your Savior, and then do what God tells you to do. Save your soul for free, forever, and sure. But you can make something of your life too whenever you do things God's way. That's a promise of God from Romans 8:28. And I urge you, even if you've just made a complete and utter fool of yourself, you've maybe disgraced yourself and maybe even shamed God. If you're not dead, then you have a chance to make it right. You apologize, you humble yourself, and you make it right and you start flying right. Consequences to Christians too, but thankfully they're only in this life, not in the next one. People need to realize the devil doesn't love us when he gives us a good time. He's trying his best to destroy our character. It is God that loves us, and whether it's by a hymn or an old Sunday school lesson or a wee bit of a Bible. I remember walking through here and picking up the first chapter of, what was it? It's in the Bible. It's not in my Bible anymore. The first chapter of, where was it? Hosea. What a powerful chapter. Something like that, or some idiot standing with a megaphone or in the corner of a shop just firing tracts at people. Or even looking at the creation one day and saying, how could that have happened just by accident? It had to be created. People that's looking for God will find him. Or he'll find them one way or another. For every time and every direction the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil comes at you, and it seems like there's no hope and you're going underwater. Remember, there's a promise in Isaiah that when the devil comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Against him. Friends, I know sometimes the Word of God can be very dry. And I know a lot of times the heart and mind of man, which we all have, doesn't fancy sitting down for a time of reading and studying and prayer. Do you ever remember as a mummy or a daddy trying to get the minced up broccoli and potatoes into your baby's mouth? And the wee mouth closes up tighter, as tight as a tight thing can get, and all that you're doing is spreading it around your baby's face. Because why? It doesn't taste nice. Well, it's full of iron and carbs and vitamins, but it doesn't taste nice. Do you ever do that? Cold the nose. Or airplane coming into land. Or the train wants to go through the tunnel. That's us. In the sight of a God that is so far above us that we're like ants to him and still loves us. That's us. Anyway, God loves each and every one of us. Even the lost folks that are out carrying on tonight. God loves us. And he wants us saved and he wants us in heaven because he knows what the alternative is. Amen. I'm going to stop there. I really do appreciate your time and attention this evening, folks. God bless you. Alright, I am going to pick number 29 as our closing hymn this evening. Number 29 in the wee black book. And it's Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Hymn number 29, if you're able, we will stand and sing. Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Let's make a joyful noise, folks. bless you, folks. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and we'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we still have, Lord, to worship and praise you. And I pray you, Father, please, for your good hand upon each one of us and our brothers and sisters wherever they are. And Lord, that our daily bread, what it is that we need, not just today, but each day, would be delivered to us. I thank you for your long suffering. I thank you, Lord, for your work on the cross for us. And I am sure we will never realize just exactly what you have done for us. And thank you, Lord, for the good sense to, Lord, to accept your Son as Savior. Please bless us as we go home. I pray for safety on the roads. Lord, for family and friends. Lord, for the words to speak and a good time to speak. Lord, please save souls. And please don't be done with us. We love you and thank you. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. I really do appreciate your good time and attention. Just shake hands and fellowship for a bit.